We're here at the Industry Summit in Las Vegas, where we're going to be talking to the movers and shakers of the big players in the industry, Fanatics, Panini, eBay, Golden Auctions, and more. Hello, Industry Summit. My name is Jeff Wilson. By day, I invest in tech companies, and at night, I invest in sports cars. Join me and my team as we help you profit from the hobby we all love. This episode of Sports Card Investor is brought to you by eBay. eBay is here for the card collectors with a trick for every trade, like advanced tools for price checking with the Price Guide beta within the eBay app, and up to 50% faster listing with Image Scan. Learn how collecting just got smarter at ebay.com/tradinghub. Hello, sports card investors, and you are looking live at the Industry Summit in Las Vegas here in 2021. And a lot has gone on here. We have heard from Panini in some ways. We'll talk about that. We've heard from Fanatics unofficially in some ways. We've got some news and information to share about everything that is going on in the sports card hobby. But first, this has been a fun few days out here in Las Vegas with the leaders of a lot of these companies and some fun athletes as well.
That's right.
Who were some of the athletes who stuck out to you? I know one of your Notre Dame boys was in the mix.
That's right. So Tim Brown was the keynote speaker. Notre Dame great, you know, Raiders all-time great. Really exciting. And it was kind of an interesting conversation, just a lot about his background and you know, his humble beginnings, sort of a serendipitous story into how he even made it to Notre Dame and then made it into the NFL, but definitely a very humble guy, you know, a guy who I think is going to be really important to helping carry this next generation of athletes forward and hopefully give them really good advice so they can stay grounded. And then we saw today UFC fighters.
That's right.
Jorge Masvidal, as well as Dustin Poirier. And that was really cool. You know, UFC is something that I've been, thanks to Parker, getting a little bit more educated on, a little bit more interested in. And I was able to catch a photo with Jorge Masvidal. He was super cool, just hanging out, walking around, and letting people take pictures. And so got the photo. We got some autographed cards.
I got one with Dustin Poirier. It was pretty cool.
Yeah,
they were holding their Prism, some of their Prism cards as well. They were showing off. That was kind of neat.
Yeah, absolutely. And then our final athlete was Jonathan Marchessault, plays for the Vegas Golden Knights. So Hammer would have been really excited to meet
him. Yeah, I got a little hockey in there too.
But, it's, you know, I always really like listening to hockey players. They're very grounded. They just are like down to earth guys. They love what they do. They love playing, and that was it was really interesting just getting to hear some of the hockey fans. That's a crowd that loves their sport. They love hockey, and so there was a little bit of smack talk about who had the best fans and last year. But really fun to interact with the athletes and just kind of experience what it's like to be inside their heads a little bit.
So that was a cool experience for sure. But we were here for that fun, but we were also here for the industry discussion and news. And in particular, I was really excited to see what Panini had to say, because Panini was here and they had time on the big stage. This was their first opportunity to make public comments about the fact that they lost the licenses for the major sports, for baseball, for football, for basketball. So I was really curious to hear about what they were going to say and what they were going to say about their future. Also, we had here Josh Luber, who is going to lead Fanatics' new venture into sports cards. And in fact, he just got off the stage. I was really curious to hear what he was going to say as well. So let's dive into that. So Panini, perhaps it could be better classified by saying it's not what they said, it's what they did not say. Because Panini took the standpoint that they were going to say absolutely nothing, no acknowledgement at all about what happens with Fanatics and Major League Baseball and the NFL and the NBA. Instead, they decided to use every minute they had here to really promote UFC cards and to pump UFC. What did you think about that move?
Yeah, I mean, we literally watched the room fill, right? People were kind of coming and going depending on the talks. And when it was time for Panini, the room filled. It packed out. And we were all kind of waiting with bated breath. And then they kicked it off with a couple hype videos for UFC. And that was it. That was all we heard about.
We saw the UFC fighters. We heard about UFC cards for 45 minutes.
Yep.
And then there were no questions allowed at the end.
There were no questions. You know, they They could have talked about soccer a little bit or something, but this is what we speculated about, yeah. right? When we first heard the news is, well, they're going to have to pivot and shift their focus. And so maybe unsurprising, but it also seems like there's still a lot of uncertainty. Who knows? You give somebody a little carrot and they might, take it and really run with it bigger than what it is. So can't say I necessarily fault them either.
There is the most giant elephant in the room, and that elephant continues to remain in the room. That elephant
is right there.
Yeah. The elephant has gone nowhere because they did not directly address any of it. The only comment of any type they made was they made an offhanded joke about there being news a couple weeks ago that really surprised them. That's the only joke, and it was a joke, and they didn't even, wouldn't even acknowledge what that news was. Of course, everyone knew what they were talking about, but then it was all UFC talk from there. Now, I will say, since they did do a very good job of promoting UFC, they talked about the growth of the UFC market, the fact that they have surpassed all of their UFC sales goals. A couple of things that I heard that were maybe a little surprising to me on the UFC front was they said Select actually performed better than Prism
right. From
a sales perspective. Right. They've got Chronicles coming out in October, both hobby and retail, which they're really excited about. And they said that their NFTs, the UFC NFTs, have been going crazy. And that's something that they're really excited about as well. Now, naturally they're all in on UFC. It makes sense that they're all in on UFC. I wouldn't be surprised for the next, few years, if you hear a lot of UFC talk and hype, and probably a lot of soccer, talk and hype. Even though we didn't hear it here, it would only make sense that, Panini would put a lot of focus into both UFC and soccer, which are licenses that they have and theoretically will continue to have.
Something that was really interesting too is during the second hype video that they played, they were kind of flashing some statistics and things, and they were saying that UFC is like the most popular sport amongst like younger generation millennials. I think what we're going to see is they talked about NFTs. They could really shift their focus now into more innovation, the next wave of audience. They're sort of that old guard in cards and basketball cards and baseball cards, and maybe this younger crowd isn't as ingrained in the way that things have always been done with cards. So it'll be interesting to see if they really like put themselves out there into that blockchain space and try to put more of an emphasis on that. But they were definitely trying to sort of sell, look, UFC is a global sport. It's in, 140 countries or something like that, right? And these fights obviously do draw a lot of viewers, and it's not so dissimilar from soccer too, which obviously has a very global following.
So as a sports card investor, you want to go where the marketing's going to be going, the hype's going to be going, and Panini made it very clear today, just through their actions, that they are going all in on UFC. I think that probably bodes very well for the UFC card market in terms of interest and values and prices and all that stuff in the years to come. So I think UFC, from an investment standpoint, could be a nice opportunity that's emerged here. Now let's flip to talk Fanatics, because, so Panini decided to keep their mouth shut. What was interesting is you had Josh Luber, who's going to head this new sports card venture for Fanatics. He was part of a panel discussion here. Now, when he originally agreed to be part of the panel, it was before any of the news about Fanatics had come out. He agreed to do this some time ago. He wanted to continue with his commitment and be on the panel, but he right away addressed it at the very beginning of the panel and said, look, there's nothing official that we're ready to talk about now. We're still getting our act together in terms of how all of this is going to work. There will be announcements in the months to come, but right now there's no official announcements to be made. But he said, in an unofficial personal capacity, I am here to tell you my thoughts on the sports card market overall. And he opened up with a statement, very, very strong, strong statement about his optimism around the growth of cards and just how bullish he is on the fact that everything you see in the sports card hobby today is going to be several times bigger in the years ahead. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that was apparent, and so you had Josh, right? You had Ken Golden, and then we had DJ Ski, and we had Dan
Cards
Fleischman.
And Coffee. Yep.
So these are four guys, it's totally apparent, who have a very vested interest in the long-term sustainability and support of the hobby. They're very passionate about, doing what's right. Now, doing what's right is extremely open to debate, depending on who you talk to, but they've got a lot of strong opinions on it. And I think that it's really clear that Josh is excited He stepped into this role. He had the experience with StockX, and he's crossing over. We see this culture collision, right? Mm-hmm. That Atlanta trade show was, I think, aptly named the Culture Collision Trade Show. And we're seeing that within sports cards, where you have music and you have sneakers and you have culture and you have old versus new, all these things coming together. And that's a lot of what those guys talked about. And I think Josh especially is very astute when it comes to all of that. But all four of them are, and they sort of feel an inherent responsibility. And, you know, I wrote down some things because it's like, how is there looking to grow the hobby, which they most certainly are, especially when you're going to pony up that kind of money like Fanatics has. You know they're going to be wanting to grow the hobby, but are they going to do it by charging more or by increasing print runs, or are they going to do it more organically by just growing the audience and the exposure? And if they can do that, I think that's going to be really important. But I look at it and it's like, how do you preserve what's really, really good already and always has been about the hobby while continuing to innovate? How do you bring in new people and intrigue them while not alienating the veterans of the industry? You know, some of these questions about just maintaining, but also continuing to evolve, and I think that's some of what all four of them talked about throughout it.
Yeah, it was a really, really interesting conversation. And Josh ended, his closing statement was addressing something that was on the minds of many, many people here. He addressed the card shop owners. And the card shop owners, look, there are a lot of card shop owners that are really scared by this news of Fanatics taking all these licenses over, because Fanatics is known for selling direct to the consumer online. They are not known for going through distributor networks and going down to local retail stores. That's not how Fanatics operates. So of course, all these card shop owners, many of whom are here at the industry summit, are terrified. Some of them are terrified about what is this going to mean to our card shop. Are we going to get cut out of getting product in the future when Fanatics comes into play? And would that kill our entire business? Now, there have been some great talks of optimism while we've been here. In fact, Joe Davis, our friend from Atlanta, from gotbaseballcards.com, gave a whole entire talk telling the card shop owners, calm down. We've been through this type of thing before where manufacturers change. And it's also really important to reflect on the service, how you're servicing your customer. Because it's more than just selling them product. It needs to be how you're helping them with grading, how you're helping them with other types of services in your store, you know, secondary market sales, all that type of thing, because that makes you diverse and you're not as dependent on the new product. So there's been good discussion about it. But at the end of Josh Luber's session, he gave a reason to hope for these card shop owners. He said, and again, this was unofficial, not official Fanatics talk, but he said that he felt card shops had a very important role in the future of the hobby, and he felt that everybody in the room was going to be in a much better place 5 years down the road than they were today. I'm sure that was a deep sigh of relief for many of the card shop owners listening.
Yeah, there's some really conflicting opinions across a whole bunch of different topics within this hobby, within this industry. But I think that one that is absolutely non-controversial is the critical importance of the LCS, of the local card shop. It's the backbone. It's where the ecosystem sort of had its birth, and it's where people encounter it. You know, when you see a card shop, they talked about that a little bit, about their first experience sort of like wandering into one. It can be a little intimidating. Some shops are better than others at really welcoming in new faces and making sure that they feel like they're, you know, being served and also educated and all those kinds of things. But we have to have the LCS. It can't be cut out. And I think that even though Fanatics' model is traditionally that B2C model, like, they need to do some B2B work to make sure that those card shops are supported and that they can still help be that foundational part of the whole card ecosystem.
Absolutely. And it was good to hear Josh address that at the end of his talk today. We've got heavy equipment going by, ladies and gentlemen. We are doing this live from the show floor. Yeah. Okay, let's switch gears for a moment. There were a lot of interesting companies here that were displaying, that were exhibiting, companies that supply the hobby in different ways. What were some of your observations from walking around and talking to some of the different companies?
Yeah, some of the things you'd really expect, like the supply companies, and there's other new ones, you know, kind of trying to enter this space. I think this last year when we saw shortages in supply and supply chain issues, there's more people kind of who've maybe found their own channels. They're getting into it, and that's probably a good thing. They're always going to be innovating that way, and you have options, and if you have a good experience with a supplier, you can go that route. So supplies, Obviously, Panini and Fanatics were both here. We had Pristine Auctions, Collectibles, some of the marketplaces were here. Obviously, Ken Golden. And then
eBay as well.
Shout out to eBay.
eBay
as well, obviously. And
absolutely.
You have kind of this trend. I don't know whether to call them custom cards. I don't think they're quite custom cards, but they're sort of these smaller, unlicensed card manufacturers. And then they go out and kind of get autographs, especially of college athletes, right? So we're seeing more and more of this. One of them is Wild Cards. I know that Ryan Card Collector 2 has opened some Wild Cards product on his channel. And it's cool looking stuff. I was actually really surprised. Personally, I don't know. It's kind of like a new grading company. It's like, are they here to stay? What's the long-term market viability of this? Oh, it's like the first Trevor Lawrence card on the market, but is it going to come down? But a one-of-one Wild Cards Trevor Lawrence, if it was paid, just sold for almost 10 grand on eBay like a few weeks ago. So, there's maybe a market for that. Onyx, and there were a couple of other ones that are here. So that was kind of interesting. And then we're seeing more of the like digital transformation within cards. This company called Flex NBA, they've got like almost these little like POG hexagon tiles, and you move them around. It's almost like an intersection between a TCG and basketball cards. And you sort of like hold your phone up and it creates like this 3D hologram of the athletes, and they look really good. Visually, they've done a really good job with the athletes, but you kind of give them like power-up boosts, so it's like a battle, right? So it's kind of like bringing the Pokemon Magic kind of thing into basketball. And then one of the big sponsors here was this Beyond Protocol. It's a company that's trying to create blockchain linkage to physical card assets. So you basically get you're tying a card to the blockchain. That'll really help with provenance to be able to track the history of cards, where they've been, where they're going, who's had them in their hands. And I think that's obviously something that's really valuable when you're talking about high-end cards. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Sounds like some kind of a kid genius, has made his way into that in a broader capacity, and he's seen a lot of opportunity in the collectible space. So those are some of the different, groups here that have been set up.
Yeah, a lot of interesting people here for sure. All right, well, we're gonna wrap up, but before we do, any other speakers, anything else that you heard on stage that kind of struck you?
Well, I thought one of the really important talks was Brad's Comeback Card Investor. He's obviously a friend of ours, and he gave a really important talk just about being financially responsible. And that's something I think we try to do a good job communicating. Don't overextend yourself. And he really highlighted that there's a lot of opportunity in this country in general for people to understand finance better, to become more educated, to take care of themselves and make sure they're not losing money. Some really sobering statistics about people having fewer than $300 saved and these kind of things. And so, he's got a lot of resources. He does a lot of that work on the side. And if you haven't had an opportunity, whether it's Brad and you're visiting his website or finding somebody else, I think that's a really important message. Just if you're looking at investing in sports cards or even just from a collection perspective, don't blow all your discretionary income over the top on a hobby. It's really important to take care of your basic assets and necessities first.
Yeah, that was great. And another session, which I got to be part of, we were on stage to do a social media and a YouTube kind of primer, how-to tips for the audience here, which we were really excited about. I wanted to give a special shout out to our VP of content, Kelly Francis, and Senior Director of Production, Charles Hurley, who helped put those sessions together and were on stage leading a lot of those sessions. Got good feedback from the audience and hopefully provided them with some value as well. So,
I was watching Ski and Dan and these others, and obviously you were with Aoki this week, I had this kind of visual almost come to my mind that just made perfect sense. And this felt like watching as I think about the growth of the hobby and what they're trying to do over the next 5 years, let's say, it feels like analogous to watching a DJ work their art with the turntables and with all the sound dials, that this is going to be a series of small adjustments, hopefully. There's going to be huge changes, but can they continue to tweak and refine? And if they make a misstep in one direction and they accidentally cut someone out or isolate a group or do something, how do you react to that and how do you correct? And I think as long as those people in there and others and who are big content creators and involved with manufacturing, if they're all moving in the same aligned direction that they want that health of the hobby to grow, then that's I think a really good visual of just making the small tweaks and the fine tuning so that things stay really healthy and you create that beautiful collision of an old symphony with new, kind of techno music. It'll be really awesome.
I like it. I like it. Coming soon to a record label near you, the Teapot Hobby Hit record with all that fine tuning, perfectly tuned. Awesome. Well, thanks for watching, ladies and gentlemen. That is it from Industry Summit in Vegas 2021. But that is certainly not it for our channel, because on Thursday, we're going to have a special episode, a little bit of the forecast, but we're going to do it here from Industry Summit with members of our team, giving you some ideas of what they're buying, what cards they're looking at in the marketplace. So if you haven't yet, hit that subscribe button, hit that little bell icon, and come back next time you get that notification, because we got great stuff in store. Until then, viva Las Vegas, baby.
Thanks. See you, everybody.
See you again soon.